Welcome to the Reclaim Your Rise podcast. My name is Lauren Bongiorno, nationally board certified health coach and founder and CEO of Risely Health, where we help people and families impacted by type 1 diabetes take ownership over their lives so that they can transform with more freedom and confidence. Everyone has a different reason to be here. You might be seeking knowledge, support, or community, but at your core, I know that you long for something deeper. You're here for transformation. And that's what the Reclaim Your Rise podcast is all about. A quick reminder before we start the show that nothing you hear on the Reclaim Your Rise podcast should be a substitute for personalized professional medical advice. Please always consult your physician or other medical professional before making any changes to your diet, insulin dosages, or healthcare plan. Hello and welcome back to the Reclaim Your Rise podcast, my friends. Today is very special because it marks our 20th episode of the show. I can confidently say that each week since I believe we put the podcast out in March, I've truly, truly looked forward to recording these episodes and love that we're learning and growing and rising above our diabetes together. This is such a positive, forward-moving community, and I'm grateful for every episode that you've listened to, every message that you've sent me, every recommendation of, hey, I would love to hear this on the podcast, or you should bring this guest on. This is a collaboration in my eyes, and I couldn't do this without you. So on that note, I wanted to make this 20th episode centered around you, even more so than some other episodes. I wanted to answer questions that I've gotten lately on Instagram about A1C and blood sugar specifically. So we're going to dive into those in a sec, but I'm big into milestones and celebrating because life's too short and we have to do it. So the team and I put together a giveaway that I don't know if you want to enter, but one person is going to have the chance to win an epic package, combination of four things. I'll tell you what you have to do to enter in a second, but what is in the giveaway prize? It is a combination of first the Koya drinks. If you follow me on Instagram, if you know me, you would know that I love my Koya drinks. They are low glycemic and they have a bunch of different lines, but this one specifically that Koya is going to give away is the variety pack of their protein line. If you get it, the cold brew coffee one is my absolute favorite. So we have the Koya drinks. We also have Bonza pasta. So I've been eating Bonza as long as I have known about them. They're low glycemic chickpea pasta. So good. And then if you also have the nutrition and blood sugar guide from Risely, there's I think it's called the broccoli Bonza bash recipe in there. And that is like the most delicious garlic oil, Bonza, chickpea pasta, broccoli. I mean, I pretty much said like all the ingredients that are in the title, but it's so good. Chris and I have it at least once a week. Next up, we have a Frio pack. Frio is donating one of their insulin cooling packs. And for those of you who are coming up on summer, like I am in New York, this is going to be great if you're going to the beach or, you know, traveling other places that you got to keep your insulin cool. And then the last one is Risely's Diabetic Health Journal. So you will be, having that as part of it as well for something that you can specifically work on your blood sugars with and have as a tool to journal and log and reflect your water and your gratitude and your blood sugars and your insulin and your food and all that if you have a goal of working towards a lower A1C or increasing your time in range. And if you would like to enter to win, all you have to do is rate and review the podcast on Apple. I'm going to tell you a little secret for everybody listening. So we have a 4.7 rating on Apple and they're all fives except for there's like two or three one stars that have brought the rating down. I think we have some negative Nellies out there. That's okay. They can do their thing, but I want us to rise up because we know how powerful this podcast is. And I want other people to be able to see the podcast on the Apple page and see a strong 5.0 rating. So if you can help get that rating up from 4.7 to 5.0, that would be absolutely incredible. And then send a screenshot of you after you rate and review it to hello@risleyhealth.com, or you can send it to me on Instagram DM. And then just write with it, Reclaim Your Rise podcast giveaway, so that we can track it and then announce somebody next week to win. Okay, so now that we have that out of the way, let's roll on in right into these questions. So the first question is, how do you know your ratios or insulin to carb ratios? How do you know your ratios? I guess that's including like correction factors as well, or specifically like your insulin to carb ratios. I'm totally lost. So we're taught from day one that our doctors should be changing these. And realistically, or I should say in theory, that is true. But the reality is that The result of that for many people, not all, but definitely many, is that you're left with rates that have either been A, the same for years and not serving your body anymore, or B, rates that are more blindly changed at your appointments, meaning like, oh, you're going high here, low here, like let's change this or let's change this without really understanding the root of the highs or lows, or not understanding on your end, like why things are being changed and you feeling empowered to understand that and empowered to go back to your everyday life and be able to reflect and know, hey, that change was helpful because XYZ, or hey, this actually wasn't helpful. I think we should probably, you know, change it to this and be an active participant in that conversation. So I personally know my ratios and insulin needs from testing them, like period, stripping away certain factors so that I can isolate things like my long-acting insulin or basal insulin if you're on a pump, my insulin to carb ratios or my correction factors. I haven't had a doctor change any of my rates in, I would say, probably seven-ish years, maybe six, 7 years. And that's because my numbers are really great and my numbers are able to be really great because I care, right? Like I care enough not to just make like these blind, you know, changes and say, oh, I think this should just be this or this should be this because I'm going high in the afternoon. Let's just move this around. It's like, no, there has to be a system, or at least there doesn't have to be a system, but I found so much value in being able to strip all the factors away, isolate different rates and ratios, and then go from there. And I want to put a disclaimer here that like you obviously don't want to just be blindly changing your rates if you don't understand what your body needs. And I highly recommend learning more about really how to test these and bringing this to your doctor and saying like, hey, like I did these tests and this is what it's showing, and start off that way in more of a collaboration until you earn your doctor's trust to the point of like, if you heard Coach Jess, her podcast episode last week on pregnancy, you know, her doctor was like, your numbers are great. Like I have full trust in you, like change what you need from day to day and whatnot. And that's really the goal, right? So you can become a little bit more autonomous in those decisions, because the truth is if you're waiting in between, you know, appointments every 3 months or every 6 months to change something, that's, you're losing out on so much time there, and you're really experiencing so much, probably more frustration than you need to, compared to if you were just be able to recognize the pattern, recognize a rate or ratio is off, and then be like, okay, boom, like I know why that's happening. Let's test this and then let's change it. And this is like a big caveat here. It's important to note that my insulin to carb ratios or correction factors are only what I go off of about 50% of the time. So when my pump, when I put in the carbs that I'm eating and then the pump says, okay, give 4 units for that, I'm 50% of the time giving 4 units, but the other 50% of the time I am changing that and increasing it or decreasing it based on context, based on where I am in my hormonal cycle, where I am with my workouts that week and insulin sensitivity, where I'm at with, you know, just like what I'm eating and the fat and protein content with it, right? There are things that the pump and technology is so great for, but there always is going to, even with automated and control IQ, I truly believe there needs to be a human element to it. And that's when like you have to take what's going on like in the context of your life or your day to day and put your spin on what your pump is like shooting at you should give. So of course, like all with disclaimers, this is just what I do personally, and you have to really find what works best for your body and, you know, be able to fine tune these things with your healthcare team. So that is what I'll say for question one. Question two is, somebody asked tips for bolusing at restaurants when you don't know when the food will come and how many carbs it'll be. This is tricky. This is definitely tricky. And I always say this, but in routine is a lot easier. I mean, this is obvious, than out of routine. And when we throw in things like traveling or restaurants, that's when we feel like, oh, I can never get my blood sugars under control. And it's like always harder when I go out. And I'll give you an example. Yesterday I had my bridal shower, and that's a very quintessential example of not knowing, right? My mom and my sister and Chris's mom, my future mother-in-law, my future sister-in-law, like they put together this whole shower and made it a surprise. And so I didn't know like where it was going to be. I didn't know what kind of food it was going to be. But here are two things that I did that I think I can give you as tips. So the first one is, when Chris was driving me to the restaurant, I looked at my Dexcom and I saw that I was 150. And what I did was I corrected that. And I was proactive, because when you can go in to a meal a little bit on the lower end, let's say, you know, I mean, lower end is relative, right, to you, but for me, that's like between 90 and 110, you're going to inevitably go up from eating, but you have more room then before you start going in the 200s. Versus, let's say you go into a meal at 180, you can rise 100, but then you're going to end up at 280. And yesterday I went up, but I only went from, let's say, like 100 to maybe like 180. And so I end up, yes, with the same increase, but it's a more in range increase than if you just go in a little bit more in the reactive state. So that's my first tip. My second tip is restaurants generally cook with more fats, right? There's more oils, there's more butter. So you're going to have possibly a more delayed rise. So I actually don't worry as much of getting like a super heavy pre-bolus in if I'm like in the moment and I'm talking with, you know, whoever I'm eating with at the restaurant and I'm like, I don't really know when the food is going to come. So for me, that works because I just get some insulin on board, but I don't worry about getting the whole bunch of it and knowing like the exact portion it's going to be of the pasta or of the pizza. And then once I have a little bit of that insulin on board, and you know, it really depends. Like it depends how much I'm going to put on board if I'm 90 versus if I'm 130. Or if I'm 150, whatever it is, but that helps to, by the time I'm eating some bread and starting to eat that food, like just get ahead of that like big rise. And then I'll start adding more on in the next, you know, hour of eating. And then even up to like 6 hours after, depending on if I'm doing like a temp basal or extended bolus, things like that. So it's really like dependent on specifically the type of food you're eating and the restaurant and the balance of the macros and all of that. But those two tips are things that have helped me personally and help a lot of our clients. So that is what I will say to that. Now, question three, thoughts on the new Omnipod Dexcom collab? Oh, I thought you'd never ask. So I am actually working on getting on the Omnipod 5. So I've put off talking about this because I really want to get on the Omnipod 5 and then be able to do a podcast episode on it, or you know, talk more about like what I'm liking or what I'm personally having struggles with, you know, adjusting to the new pump. But I figured I can just throw this question in here because I got a lot of them. So I think first and foremost, I am thrilled that people on Omnipod have an opportunity to experience this type of integration between the pump and CGM. Tandem has been a clear leader in the space, in my opinion, of really nailing down the just features of the automated delivery. And Omnipod for me is like, I'm a Verizon girl, I'm an iPhone girl, like I'm dedicated. It feels like this, like, you know, if you have an iPhone versus and Verizon or whatever it is versus someone who has like an Android, or if it's vice versa, you like feel attached to that brand. That's how I feel about Omnipod. And so now to have this, you know, next version of the pump is incredible. I will say we have in our alumni, we have Slack groups for graduates of our coaching programs. And on a call last week and within the Slack group over the past couple of weeks, there's been a ton of talk about Omnipod 5, and everybody's been sharing and asking each other questions and asking, especially the people who are on it, like, how do you like it? And what are you finding challenging? And what advice do you have? So I want to share some highlights with you. I'll share three highlights that, you know, I feel really confident sharing that I've heard from enough people in the graduating classes. So the first one is, it definitely takes a few pods for the algorithm to get to know your body. What I've heard is about 4 to 5 pods. This is through, you know, hearsay of like I said, people who are on Omnipod 5, but don't get frustrated, seems like to be the message of the first pod or 2 pods or 3 pods, which it looks like what, like maybe 2 weeks. So the first 2 weeks may be a little bit rough adjusting, but it has to get to know your body. So that's the first thing. The second thing is a lot of people are reporting having less lows on the Omnipod 5, which is incredible, but they're still having highs. And that to me tells a story of the importance of working on your insulin sensitivity, and that the pump's not going to solve all of the challenges, but it's going to solve some of the challenges and some of the immediate frustrations, right? Because waking up in the middle of the night with lows or lows during exercise, that is, you know, pain points for a lot of people, myself included. But, you know, still having those highs, we really want to look at how can we work in tandem with the Omnipod, not tandem the pump, but figure of speech in tandem, with Omnipod and Omnipod 5 to be able to understand it more, understand how to optimize it so that you're also reducing those highs at the same time. And then the third thing that we're seeing, and the highlight I can share, is that we're having a lot of clients reach back out to our coaching team for support, not knowing how to deal with this new pump, that it doesn't have a temp basal or extended bolus feature. And this is something that, you know, come in handy a lot when you're eating at a restaurant, when you're eating certain meals, when you're going for a run, exercise, things like that. And so I still want to deep dive a little bit more into this third highlight, and I think give a personal antidote once I'm on the Omnipod 5 about this, but this is just a sign that, you know, anything new is challenging to adjust to, and it takes a second. But I'm confident that there are, you know, ways around it, or ways to be able to have a, let's say, high fat, high carb meal and not have the extended bolus feature, but something with this new Omnipod 5 that can offset it or do the same thing. So to be continued with that one. It's that time for a brief 60-second commercial break here. So we know that diabetes affects people of all ages and all walks of life, and that the numbers are only increasing. The Diabetes Research Institute leads the world in cure-focused research and has made substantial contributions to the field over the last few decades. If you want to stay up to date on all the DRI news and advancements, you can become a DRI insider by joining their email list. I am personally subscribed, and they are my trusted go-to source for diabetes cure and research updates. And as a listener of the Reclaim Your Rise podcast, when you subscribe to DRI's list, you will receive 20% off of Risley's Diabetic Health Journal, a tool which has helped thousands of people with diabetes become more mindful and accountable of their patterns around blood sugar, food, exercise, and more. Just go to support.diabetesresearch.org/reclaimyourrise or check the show notes below for the link to drop your name and email. Okay, next question. Someone asked, how do I break patterns? The days that I work, I tend to be high all morning and low in the afternoon. And the days that I'm off not working, I am completely normal. Okay, so for anyone who is looking at patterns and understanding the importance of looking at your own body as data, you are doing the first step, right? Which is to recognize the pattern, because in order to change something, you need to know what's happening, what's occurring, and what's a kind of one-off situation versus something that is, you know, happening a lot. So after, you know, this person who asked, after you found and recognized the pattern, next I would say to look at what the pattern is possibly telling you. And just from reading, you know, these two sentences that you sent to me, I can tell immediately that you have a difference in maybe your hormones and your stress levels on days, and also sleep patterns on the days that you're off versus the days that you work. And what could be happening is that because you're working on those days and you're going high in the morning, you could have more cortisol and stress, and you can be like waking up and, you know, also drinking coffee on top of it, which sometimes exacerbates that high blood sugar in the morning if there's already stress involved. And then as the day goes on, the stress is kind of dropping as you're adjusting to your, you know, you're sitting at your desk or whatever that looks like, and you don't have the like, oh, I have to get to my desk at 9 o'clock, you know, feeling. And then the afternoon lows could come from a direct result of that, meaning it could be overcorrecting highs and having a lot of insulin on board and all hitting at once. It could come from your ratios also being off, possibly. It could come from your long-acting insulin. It could come from sitting down for the first, like, you know, couple hours of the day and then getting up in the afternoon to do a workout and being more active, and then your insulin sensitivity kicks in. Or it could be that you're less stressed in the afternoon, right? There's like a lot of things that it could be, and that's where you want to really start isolating and thinking about, well, this is the pattern. Now the second step is, where is it coming from? Because then when you can say, where is it coming from, you can go to the third step, which is, now let's start creating solutions. So this is, you know, I'm going off of two sentences here and kind of like a general feel of what we see too in a lot of other clients. And like I said, even myself, like this was for a while my pattern, actually, where I was having more highs in the morning than I was in the afternoon. And it was coming strictly because of the, you know, jump start to the day. And you're going, and your energy is higher, and your cortisol levels are already higher in the morning time. And so that on top of it, compared to a day that you're not working, where you may be sleeping in or looking at your phone in bed in the morning or reading or playing with your kids, it's a very, very different day. So those are the behind the scenes players that you definitely want to understand in regards to your insulin resistance and insulin sensitivity. Okay, question number 5. What do you do when you feel hopeless with your diabetes management? Now, this was not directly related to, you know, blood sugars or A1C. It was more mindset, but Let's be real. We're never going to make it through an episode of the Reclaim Your Rise podcast without talking about mindset in some way or another. So look, I had this really interesting experience about a month ago, and it's so funny because there's so much of life that I think really parallels diabetes and vice versa. I was having a very just stressful week, right? If you heard my podcast episode a couple of, you know, weeks back, probably around the same time that this came out, this was happening, where I was just like, wow, like we're doing so much at Risley, we're helping so many people, but I was feeling myself slip into the phase of like putting myself last and putting work really just like before everything. And what we know is that when we put everything before ourselves, like we can't give our all. And I was talking to one of my mentors, one of my coaches, you know, that is really a consultant for Risley. And I was like, I'm having a bad time. Like this is, I'm just feeling frustrated. And personally, like I'm running out of steam and I can't run out of steam. Like I'm the one steering the ship and the, you know, just like everything that we're doing, it depends on a lot of my energy and my health. And I just, I'm feeling burnt out. And this is, it's hard. Like this is hard. Like the team's growing. This is uncomfortable. Like it's uncomfortable because it's Rise is moving into this next level. And I kept saying, it's hard, it's uncomfortable. And she repeated back to me, or she said back to me, you know, Lauren, like you're saying it like it shouldn't be. Like it is hard. It's supposed to be hard. You're growing and you're, you know, coming up against challenges that you haven't had to in the past, and you're having to up level in your skills and your communication and your, you know, team management and all these different things. Like it's hard. And that in that moment, like I literally took a breath and I was like, like that made me feel so good. And what it really taught me in that moment, or just reminded me of, is like sometimes we just need to hear that validation of our experience, and that can make it feel better. So to you listening, if you feel like your diabetes management is like you're hopeless right now and you're feeling so defeated and frustrated, I want to remind you, like diabetes is hard. It's hard. It's not easy. It's not easy to 24/7 be and do the job of your pancreas. There's constant calculations and your mind having to be on and not taking a break. Yes, all of that. And I don't want you to forget that. I don't want you to forget that when you have, you know, when you're on Instagram and you see these like straight lines of blood sugars, or when you look at me and you see, let's say, my numbers that I share. I try to share the bad days or the more challenging days too. But like, you know, when you look at that, I don't want you to feel like you're the only one having a hard time. Like we're all trying to do our best. So I hope that that could first validate, you know, how you're feeling and make you feel the slightest bit better. But then the second thing is, I think that if we stay in that too long, we spiral and we spiral into the why me, and it's always going to be this hard, and I can't do this, and this is what diabetes has taken away from me. And we really have to do our best to move into the place of solution mode. And what I like to do when I'm feeling a little just out of sorts with my diabetes management is ask myself one simple question. And I do this in life and also business too, but like, what is the one thing that needs to shift right now to give, that will give me the largest ROI? So what one thing can I shift that will give me the biggest return on my investment of time? And that could be in the category of mindset. It could be in the category of nutrition. It could be in the category of exercise. It could be in the category of communication and communicating your needs. But when you feel hopeless with your diabetes management, it's like, let yourself feel the difficulty of diabetes and then do something about it, right? Like do something about it and know that it's going to be different for everybody, right? The coping mechanisms that I personally use are going to be different from you. And maybe for you, if your love language, I could say, is, you know, talking about words of affirmation. What's the other one? I guess, whatever one would be under communication, right? Like talking your feelings out and connecting on that level. Maybe what makes you feel better is just like telling your friends and family, like, I'm having a hard time. Like maybe that would make you feel better. Or if you are more in the mindset of like, when I'm in my routine of nutrition and exercise and doing really well with that, I feel like my blood sugars are better. Then it's like, all right, well, what needs to change around there? And like, why? Why haven't I been able to do that? And where, what's the root of me getting into this place of being out of that routine? Or maybe it's mindset. Maybe it's looking at, you know what, how am I looking at these numbers? Am I looking at them with more judgment or more curiosity is where I need to be looking at them? So just a few things to consider there. And I hope that piece was helpful. But To wrap up here, I got quite a few questions on how to increase your insulin sensitivity. And I love that I've been getting more and more questions about this because that means that you guys are really connecting the dots on how insulin sensitivity is a huge, huge piece of the puzzle and tool to improving your A1C and blood sugar numbers. And for those of you who are kind of in the boat of like, I know what insulin sensitivity is, but I don't really understand the importance. So think of it, your A1C and your time in range, or let's just stick with A1C. Your A1C is higher based on not how many times you go high, but the length of time that you stay high. And so then you ask, okay, well, what leads you to staying high? A big piece of it is insulin resistance. And insulin resistance is something that is usually just like attributed to the type 2 community, but is completely applicable to people with type 1 diabetes. And so what I realized is when I used to be really insulin resistant, it would feel like my insulin was like water. And I was like, one day my insulin would, you know, my blood sugars would be coming down fine. And then like the next week, it would just be like coming down, like trying to give insulin and then nothing happening. And then I realized sometimes it was acute. Then other times I'm like, I'm having like a month, like where my insulin sensitivity is just being like not great. And my blood sugar numbers are so stubborn. And the more and more I learned about insulin sensitivity, I'm like, oh wait, like I have control over this. Like I have the power over being able to understand this more and use it to my advantage in how I dose for insulin and, you know, like all of these different pieces. So I think that oftentimes we think about how diabetes is just mastering one thing, but developing a system that supports you on every level and gets you to the results that you desire, like is the key. And this has not just been in my experience, but like the hundreds of people that we've been able to, you know, help in our coaching programs, it comes from that system. Because if you don't have a system, all the pieces are just like spinning and really overwhelming. So the reason I'm mentioning this is because I have recognized that this is definitely a need. And we used to have, before Risley at Lauren Bongiorno Coaching, an exercise and insulin sensitivity course. And I created it, I think, in like 2017. And it was one of our most popular courses. And I hated it. I hated it because it was like such low quality recording. It was like in a dark WeWork. It was like a Sunday night I was recording them. And I just cringe every time I think of it. But it's so funny because every message that I've ever gotten about it has been like, this was the most incredible course. Like, it was so rich in information that I actually applied, and I'm seeing better numbers, and I'm seeing weight loss, and I'm seeing, you know, all these positive results. So I'm like, all right, we're going to shelf that product for now. So it's not available anymore, but we decided to like take it and weave it into one of our other products. And I'm not saying anything yet because we're not announcing it till July, I think the week of like July 10th or so, but we are going to be enhancing one of our products that we already have with all the content from, or a lot of the content from, the insulin sensitivity course. So that being said, we have on Wednesday, July 13th at 6 p.m., we are hosting a A1C and insulin sensitivity masterclass. And the purpose of this is just to talk about really like the exact steps that I've used, that we use with our T1D, you know, clients to create a personalized plan that makes you feel less overwhelmed and reclaim a sustainable way of having good time in range, lowering your A1C, and managing your diabetes versus just constantly like cutting out carbs or thinking about short-term solutions, and really teaching you like how the insulin sensitivity plays a part in that and exactly how to do it. So we also are going to have a guest coach there, Jose Tejero. He is an exercise physiologist who is super passionate about helping people tackle insulin resistance. And we've been working close with him for the past year, and he is absolutely incredible and a wealth of knowledge. So he will be on coaching as well. And the three things that we're really going to cover together are, number one, we're going to break down our three-part system for supporting insulin sensitivity and blood sugars to help you reach whatever A1C goal you have. Number two, we're going to help you uncover the specific areas of our signature A1C shift method that are holding you back from feeling confident and empowered with your diabetes. And number three, we're going to determine implementable next steps to help you bridge the gap between your current A1C and where you want to be. We even have this quiz that we made that we're going to have you take on the call. So we're really excited to be able to deliver some awesome value. So that is what I'm going to leave you with. I hope that you got value from this. I hope that you entered the giveaway, and just know that if you're feeling tired of your diabetes and tired that you don't feel like you have the tools or knowledge to see the numbers that you want to see and feel the way you want to feel each day, that there are solutions to this. And I am honored if you would trust us and be able to come to a masterclass and learn more, or take one of our courses, or come into one of our coaching programs, because this is this is my life. This is all the coaches' lives at Risely, that we just want to help you. We want to help you because we've all struggled before and we want to make it easier for you than it was for us. So I am looking forward to seeing you at the A1C and Insulin Sensitivity Masterclass on Wednesday, July 13th at 6 p.m. Eastern. It is free to attend, but you do have to register and save your seat. So I put the link in the show notes below. You could head there now. And then don't forget to mark it in your calendars because you do not want to forget. I'll see you next time. I want to thank the Diabetes Research Institute Foundation for sponsoring this episode. If you are somebody who wants to see a cure for type 1 diabetes in your lifetime, please go to diabetesresearch.org/give to make a donation. This is the only organization me and my family fundraise for years because this is where so much of the research is being done and the donations allow the scientists to speed up their research. Links to learn more about DRI and the work they are doing in the show notes below.